sorry, let's sing the chorus, not the chorus. Grace, grace, God's grace.
Oh,
our heads this morning, just as we ask God's blessing on our service this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you this morning that we can be gathered in the precious name of our wonderful and loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we lift up your precious name this morning. Lord, it's a banner over us, Lord, and we gather under that banner. Lord, for your name indeed says that in thy name shall the Gentiles trust. And Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that we are gathering together unto you to magnify your name, to give you thanks, Lord, to praise you and to worship you, to think and remember Calvary this morning, Lord. Remember what you've done for us when you hung on that cruel cross, when you shed your blood. And Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for, Lord, even Gethsemane, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for, Lord, the grave also this morning that's empty. But we thank you that the stone has been rolled away. And we thank you that you're seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, and you ever live to make intercession for the saints. We thank you, Lord, that you're a high priest who can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities this morning. Lord, you know each and every person's thought. Lord, you know the heart of everyone that's here. Lord, perhaps there's someone this morning needing a special touch from you. I pray, Lord God, that you'll minister unto your people according to each one's needs in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us, Lord, to enter into your gates with thanksgiving in our hearts and into your courts with praise. Help us to magnify your name, Lord, and to bless your name, Lord. And Lord, just to be glad this morning for this opportunity to worship you and to praise you. Lord, just to reflect on all that you've given us and to return thanks and praise unto you. Lord, we just ask you this morning that you'll bless the preacher of thy word, Lord, and the speaker. We pray that you'll bless him as he opens up your word and anoint him, Lord, with the Holy Ghost, we pray, Lord. Lord, touch the lips of clay with thy precious Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord God, that, Lord, the word will be quickened in each and every one of our hearts. We pray, Lord God, this morning that if there's any among us that's sick, we pray, Lord, that you'll raise them up and heal them in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, for Sister Eileen Jones. We pray you'll continue to touch her. We pray, Lord, for Stephen Johnson. Lord, this time of bereavement, Lord, we pray that you'll comfort the family in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, if there's any others, Lord, at this time, Lord, perhaps they haven't named, Lord, you know them, Lord. We pray, Lord, you'll take care of every need and every circumstance in the name of Jesus Christ, our loving Savior, we pray. Amen. Praise God. You know, can we turn to number 510, I believe it is. His glory just to walk with him. In our books. Sing, keep it low. We'll be right back. plaster. Not keep you too long this morning because it's, I know it's warm. Can we sing the chorus just as the potter is trying to come? Put on the garments of praise for the spell of happiness.
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one this morning, and we do give you a very warm welcome into our service this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we appreciate the weather we're getting. It's maybe a little hot, but we want to thank the Lord for the weather we're having. And I won't try and hold you too long. I know I'm looking at the clock. Some people look at the clock, but that means absolutely nothing. But I want to try and keep to this clock because I appreciate it's warm. We don't have any bathrooms here. And I won't hold you very long. The Lord bless you. And if you're visiting with us today, may the Lord bless you. And I see some friends here that I haven't saw for a long time. And I just trust the Lord will really bless you today. Praise God. Let us turn in our Bibles to Matthew 24. Verse 37 down to 42, and I want today to talk a little bit about the last days. And I believe we're living in the last days, and I believe the things that's happening in the world today is signs of the times of the last days. Verse 37 of Matthew 24. But as the days of Noah were, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew it not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Let us just bow for a word of prayer again this morning. Father in heaven, we bow before thee in the name that thou hast set far above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you with all of our heart because you first loved us and gave yourself for us. We thank you that you were made a ransom for many. And we bless you that where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. We thank you, Lord, this morning for this privilege that we have open access to the Word of God, and into thy throne room and into thy presence we come. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost to help me, and I thank you that you do, in Jesus' name. Bless each one, speak to us from your word. Grant the wisdom and the guidance we need. And, O Lord, save the lost, heal the sick, and restore the backslidden. We thank you for what our brothers already prayed, and we do say amen. That thou indeed will touch all. We think of Joshua. This morning we pray you'll heal him and raise him up. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you this morning. According to the teaching of Jesus Christ, Noah was a real person. The flood was a great fact, and the second coming of Christ as a Son of Man will be absolutely the same. It will be a reality. It's not just a story. It's something that is absolutely real. What the state and condition of the world will be when he comes here is revealed to us today from the Word of God. The Word of God tells us the state and the condition that the world will be in at the coming of the Lord. As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Nothing can be more simple than that. That's plain language for us. God spoke to Noah a message that certainly was unscientific. And I want to stress this morning. The message God spoke to Noah was against the scientific knowledge of the day. It was a non-scientific message. But today our world, our government are being ruled and lawed by science. Science decides everything. Our politicians can do nothing until they first hear what the science test says. And I want to deal with that a bit this morning. And I want to just read you this statement. Perhaps they were greater scientific age than we are now in Noah's time, because they built pyramids and the phoenixes and so forth in those days that we can't build today. They were acquainted with a power of some kind, a mechanical power, perhaps atomic or something, that they could lift those big boulders that we couldn't do it today. But they had great scientific things. They had something. They could embalm a body and make it keep good for hundreds of years. And we've lost that art. Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, and we know that we're entering into another scientific age. And now the message that Noah was, that Noah had, was very much contrary to the belief of that day in the church. And it was also very contrary to scientific research. But God proved his word to be the truth. God proved what the prophet Noah had said was the truth. There was great wickedness in the days of Noah. And surely there's great wickedness today. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The world did not go on getting better and better in Noah's day. But the world got so bad in the days of Noah that God sent down investigating angels. Now I know this will be over some people's head. But if you can receive it in the 20th century, God again sent investigating angels. And God again has spoke to us, and God again has warned us. And there's no excuse what the Lord's done. And the Lord warned the people in the days of Noah, and they never heeded the warning of Noah. The scientists could prove that it never had rained. But God said it was going to rain. But in all their thimbles and all their thermometers and all their knowledge that could prove it was never going to rain. And the people never listened to the voice of Noah, but they listened to the voice of the scientist. They grew worse and worse till God saw that the wickedness of man was so great. And then Genesis 6:5 said that every imagination of his heart was only evil continually before the Lord. And the Lord even said it repented him that he even made man and the earth. Man was so evil. So shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. You know, Luke 17:29-30, as in the days of Sodom, And surely we're living today as it was in the days of Sodom. If you speak out today against a homosexual, you're called homophobic. It's you that's crazy. It's you that's not right in the head. But they try to justify their sin. But sin can never be justified. God loves a sinner, but he hates sin. And if God judged sin in the days of Noah, and if God judged sin in the days of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, God will have to judge sin again, or else he'll have to raise up Sodom and Gomorrah and make an apology. And I tell you, this world's heading for the judgment of God. And the thing we're seeing in the earth today, things are not normal. There's heat waves in one part of the world. There's floods in another part of the world. There's upheaval. There's wars. There's rivers of wars. And still the end's not yet. But your focus and my focus should be upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Your focus and my focus should be that you're ready for the coming of the Lord, that you're saved, that you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that you're sealed with the seal of God. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians that the Holy Ghost is the seal of God. I want to give you some statistics. I looked this up last night and it broke my heart. Am I getting emotional? Please forgive me, but I want to be real this morning. I'm praying earnestly for this service. We hear so much about COVID, and I believe COVID's real. I want to say that. I myself had COVID. But a friend from Africa rang me, prayed for me over the phone, and God healed me. And in 48 hours, my taste was back. I was on my feet. I was back to normal. And I was bad with it. So I'm not saying COVID's not real. I believe it. But I believe the numbers associated with it are absolutely exaggerated. Absolutely exaggerated. But let me give you some statistics. 2020. The number of people that they said died with COVID in England and Wales in 2020 was 120,000. Now we know they say that's COVID related deaths. So if somebody dropped dead with a heart attack, the doctors call it COVID. We know that's the truth. But let me give you this statistic. The abortions in England and Wales in 2020, it's 200,000. And nobody come on television to say anything about abortion. And nobody put a poster up to say anything about abortion. But our news is everything about COVID. But they can kill the unborn baby. They can murder a just one and justify it. And we have politicians in this country that talk about rights and they want justice. And they vote for the murder of the unborn baby, the murder of the innocent. And I tell you, friends, God will have to judge it. How can God not judge this generation? Here in Northern Ireland, from 1961, there was a rule, because it was against life, that you couldn't have an abortion, but that's been overruled. And only about 4 months ago, they brought in a new rule that you can have abortions. And in Northern Ireland, there's been 2,167 related deaths to COVID. Now that's terrible. I'm not deriding that. It's terrible. But in 4 months from the abortion laws been lifted, we've had 644 abortions of the unborn baby, and there's hardly a word about it or a mention about it. I tell you, God will judge this nation. God will judge any nation that turns their back on God. The Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and fast and pray, then they will hear from heaven. And I tell you, today, people want a preacher that'll tickle their ears. They want a preacher that can go everywhere and everybody will open their arms to them. But I'm sorry. I'm absolutely sorry, but a real 1:15 tells us, did not he that made me in the womb make him? And did not one fashion us in the womb? Don't tell me that a baby in the womb has no rights. I tell you, the word of God says it's rights. And every little one of them little babies is saved. They're saved. Because they never reached the time of opportunity whether they can be judged. They can't be judged. They're saved. And I believe they'll be in heaven. And not only will they be in heaven, there's going to be a shock on a lot of people's faces. And all those that's saved, all those little babies that are aborted, and the millions, there's going to be millions on that great day at the white throne judgment, and they're going to speak against those that took their life before their time. Exodus 20:13 says, thou shalt not kill. And we have politicians that were involved in organizations that murdered, but yet they are all for abortion. They're all for abortion. They want to take the policeman and the soldier to court, but they're all for abortions. I tell you, bitter and sweet water cannot come forth at the same fountain. There's something wrong when two different tastes come from the same fountain. Psalms 139, verse 13 says, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth it right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being upper fact. And in thy book of all my members were written, which in continuance was fashioned when as yet there was none of them. God knows every one of those little ones. You believe in predestination, God knows every single one that's going to come, and he will not lost one. We're living in a land, in a country that looks at the scientists rather than the word of God. They quote you what the scientist says. They don't quote you what God says. We have church leaders, so-called church leaders, that quote what the scientist says. It's too dangerous to come to the church according to the scientists, of following the scientists. Brother, I'm sorry. I'm not following the scientists. I'm following a man called Jesus. The man I'm following opens the blinded eyes. The man I'm following stops the deaf ears. The man that I'm following heals the sick. He even raises the dead. The man says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today and forever. That's the man I'm following. I can't follow a politician that failed me, that let me down. Sure, I can't agree for 5 minutes, but Jesus Christ is unchanging. Jesus Christ is the same. Hallelujah. He says in Malachi 4 verse 2, I'm the Lord. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord thy God. I change not. The greatest revelation of all revelations is the unchanging God. The God that never changes. If ever opened blinded eyes, he'll open them again. If ever stopped the deaf ear, he'll stop the deaf ear again. If ever saved a drunk and a prostitute, he'll save them again. Hallelujah to the glory of God. Jesus Christ can save from the guttermost to the uttermost. He can take that which the world casts out, and he'll bring it in and heal it and deliver it. That's my Jesus. 1 Timothy 6, verse 20 to 21 tells us, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babbling and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. So the Bible tells us, if you're following scientists' knowledge, you've erred concerning the faith. My brothers, this evening, the scientists is not our leadership, but hear me this morning. God has set something in the church to lead the church, and the thing that God set in the church to lead the church is the Holy Ghost. It's not the Pope of Rome. It's not the pastor, the general overseer, but God sent the Holy Ghost to lead the church. And the Holy Ghost is the head of the church. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit sent to lead the church. Jesus Christ is our head. And we can't follow some feeble or man-made doctrine. We must follow the word of God. in the last days. It says perilous times. That means dangerous times of great stress and trouble. Surely we're living in those days. 2 Timothy 3 verse 1. Let's know also in the last days perilous, dangerous times shall come. We're living in dangerous, perilous times. We're living in times for men of itching ears. They have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. How many so-called Christians enter the day that deny the power of God? They don't want the power of God. They want a religion, but they don't want the power of God. My friend, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That's what Paul preached. That's what Paul said. Paul said it didn't come with enticing words of the wisdom of man, but in the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. These are signs. Signs of the last days. 2 Timothy 4, 3, it says they won't endure sound doctrine. When you tell them to show them one scripture, show one scripture where anybody was ever baptized in three titles, they cannot show you one single scripture in all of the Bible. I challenge anybody. Well, after Jesus gave the commission and after them disciples were sent forth, there's not one single scripture for they took anybody down and called three titles in them. They did Acts 2:30 in the name of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Ghost came with it. The Bible says he gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey him. God wants us to obey his word. And when we obey the word of God, we will receive the benefits of that word. And the benefit is the Holy Ghost. And it's not just speaking in tongues. It is eternal life. Hallelujah. They won't endure sound doctrine. 2 Timothy 4:3. But heap to their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers, having itching ears. Did you notice there's so much teaching today? How many can agree with me? So much teaching. The church is, oh, he's a teacher, he's a teacher, he's a teacher. Where's the evangelist? Where's the apostle? Where's the fivefold ministry that the book of Ephesians set out for the perfection of the saints? There has to be a fivefold ministry for the perfection of the saints. We need the teacher. We need the pastor, the apostle, the prophet. We need a full fivefold ministry. Nine gifts of the Holy Ghost and the fruits of the Spirit to go with it. But they don't want it today. Oh, we couldn't have him over. We couldn't have him over to our group. He'd maybe pray for the sick. What would the people think? Brothers, that's the age we're living in. The Bible doesn't say join with it. The Bible says come ye out from amongst them, saith God. And be ye separate, touch not, handle not the unclean thing. That's the word of God. Look what it says in 2 Peter 2:1, damnable heresies. Damnable heresies. That means destructive heresies. And there's people preaching destructive heresies. There's a famous preacher in America that was on a live television program. He was asked straight and clear, can you get to heaven by any other way than Jesus? And he fiddled about and he said, yes, there's many ways to heaven. He is an apostate. An apostate. There's only one way to heaven. Jesus Christ said, I am the way. I am the door. By me, ye may enter in. There's no other name given under heaven amongst men whereby you must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. But popularity and a paycheck. Popularity and a big paycheck. That's all they're interested in. But God wants real men. God wants real women. God's not wanting compromisers. I'll tell you, the disciples didn't compromise. They took them out and they whipped them and they beat them. They forbid them to preach in the name of Jesus Christ. The first thing they did after they got beaten and afflicted, they held a special prayer meeting. Glory to God. And they prayed a prayer. Lord God, stretch your arm forth with mighty signs and wonders and divers miracles in the name of thy holy child Jesus. They say, whether it please you or not, We will not stop preaching in the name of Jesus. The devil hates the name of Jesus. The demons hate the name of Jesus. My Bible says they tremble in fear at the name of Jesus Christ. This name is above every other name. There's power in it to save. There's power in it to heal. There's power in it to fill with the Holy Ghost. There's power in it to deliver. The name of Jesus Christ is the name that we're to preach. It's to be the center of our focus, the center of our thinking, the center of our religion, the center of our church, the center of our homes, the center of our beings, the name of Jesus Christ. And also tells us in 2 Thessalonians 2:11, strong delusions. And for this God shall send them strong delusion. That means misleading influences. Misleading influences. And you know the Bible says that there's people transformed as angels of light, but they're actually angels of darkness. And they're in pulpits preaching, and they're not preaching to win souls. They're preaching to put unbelief into your mind and unbelief into your thinking. Let me deal with this for one moment. I wasn't going to, but I'm going to now. A lot of people, when they have problems and obsessions you can't get rid of, and the preacher will tell them, crucify the flesh, crucify the flesh. But you can crucify that flesh, you can fast, you can stand your head, I'll guarantee you'll still have it. Because sometimes people need delivered from a curse. It can be a family curse that follows certain people, and that curse needs broke in the name of Jesus Christ. And if it doesn't get broke, that thing will follow you. It'll dominate you. It'll domineer you. But Jesus Christ can break it. But you'll never do it in the strength of your flesh. Because the Bible says the arm of flesh will fail, but the Holy Ghost will do it. You know, some people think, well, they're saved, there's no problems. I know a lot of Christians have problems. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. You never had problems until you get the Holy Ghost. And once you get the Holy Ghost, you're in the battle then, all right? You know nothing about it until you get the Holy Ghost. There's too many soldiers with no guns on. They say they're soldiers, but they've no weapons. The Bible says we're to put on the whole armor of God. The breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, that you may cut the devil down. Thus it's written, thus it is. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord, by his stripes I am healed. That's the word of God. Scoffers. You know what scoffer means? A mocker. A mocker. There was one of those on. I was speaking the other night for Market Hill Christian Fellowship, and I saw a scoffer in the background. He said, that boy that's on there's not right in the head. All right, I'm a fool for Christ. Who's fool are you? Amen. I used to be not right in the head. I used to be clean, daft, and clean, wild, but Jesus got a hold of me and he turned me inside out and upside down. Hallelujah! And I tell you, if you think I'm crazy, leave me alone, because I'm enjoying it. Amen! Hallelujah! Knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. Amen! Many departing from the faith. As there was faithful warnings in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, 2 Peter 2:5. For 120 years, while the ark was preparing, he condemned the world. Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. That's what he was able to do, by faith. Praise God. My time's up, but I'm stopping. Half an hour doesn't seem like it, but it's up. I'm going to stop. I'm just going to say this and I'm stopping. Every single board or plight. Maybe I'm not using the right terminology, but you know what I mean. That Noah kneeled onto that ark. It was a witness. A witness against those that saw it. And when the time came, and God said to Noah, come thou, and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteousness generation. Noah didn't say, well, I'll hang about here for another week. Noah obeyed the voice of God. Are you hearing me? Noah obeyed the voice of God. Noah didn't say another week. When the frogs came up in Egypt, and frogs represent the unclean spirits. And what did Pharaoh say to Moses? Moses, will you remove the frogs? Now, I haven't got time, but I preached a sermon on this years ago. I called it One More Night with the Frogs. And Moses said, where do you want those frogs moved? The Bible says there's frogs in their pantries, in their kitchens, in their bedrooms, frogs everywhere. When will they move the frogs? He said, tomorrow. Why did they want one more night with the frogs? Why would you spend one more night in fornication? One more night in drink? One more night in drugs? The Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Come out. Come in. Come up. Now is the time. Don't waste any longer. God bless you. If you want prayer this morning, wherever you're sitting, I'm not going to tell you to get out or get up. But I'm going to ask you, lift your hand out your window or up in your car. Lift your hand up high that I can see it. If you're not saved, call on the name of the Lord. If you're listening to this message, Jesus Christ is coming, and he's coming for the people that's ready. Maybe I'll finish the rest of this evening at 4:30. I haven't got time this morning. God bless you. Let us bow our heads as we pray. Father, we thank you for your precious word. We bless your name, Lord Jesus. That you're the same yesterday and forever. You've given us fair warning. We believe you're coming again. But Lord, I pray earnestly, while we're here, let us not live below our privileges. What you purchased for us with your wounds and stripes on Calvary. Let us walk in the fullness of the resurrected Christ. Because we know we're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Father, touch my brother this morning. Touch my sister. Those with a hand raised, give them strength. Bless them. And bind every devil, I pray. That old demon of fear, I come against that old devil of fear. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray for those that's caught this COVID recently. Lord, I ask for your blood to come on them and come over them. And that you'll heal them and make them well. In the name of Jesus Christ, protect us, everyone. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one as Brother Gary comes.
Turn to number 246. We'll sing a hymn before we leave. Revive thy work, O Lord.
Thank you.
but we'll try a different key. Tune in this evening at 4:30. You know, you need to be disciplined to keep to the 30. It's hard going, but you need to be disciplined to do that. So, Lord willing, next week, Brother Tommy's asked me to preach, and Lord willing, I can do the same. So, get, you know, 30 is plenty if you can do it, but you need to be disciplined, and it's, you know, it's a good thing to be able to do that. So, next week, next Sunday, come along, and don't forget this evening at 4:30. I'm just going to close in prayer. As we leave. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for your precious word this morning, and we thank you that you are the unchanging Jesus. Lord, that we can expect, Lord, what you've done that was recorded in your word, we can expect that you'll still do the same today. For indeed you are the same. You are the Lord God who changes not. Lord, give us a great expectation of you, of your work, Lord, and help us, Lord, each and every one of us, increase our faith, Lord, to take on difficult circumstances, Lord, not to shy away from them, but Lord, to press the battle to the gate, and in every circumstance and in every trial that we will overcome, in the precious name of Jesus Christ we pray. Lord, let us, like David, take courage and face the giants that stand in our way and defy the living God. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you'll help us, Lord, to have faith in thee, Lord, to trust in thee and have confidence fully in you, and deny our own selves, Lord, for man brings about fear. And he brings about doubt and scepticism. But Lord, you belong. Lord, you give us, Lord, the inheritance of faith, Lord. And we pray, Lord God, that we'll indeed, Lord, go forward, Lord, in the might of the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, dressed and clothed in the full armour of God, even as we've heard this morning. We ask these blessings in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless each one as they go, and grant each one travelling mercies. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. Praise God, and maybe I'll just sing a course as we leave. Lord bless.